Are you ready for some word this morning?
Yeah.
Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll give you a minute to find it. Habakkuk 2. Awesome. We'll need that in the future from Habakkuk.
I hope I can figure out what I did.
Not bad. Habakkuk 2, I think it's page 1145 in my Bible. Thank you, Jesus. It is, still is. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk goes to prayer. We discussed this the last couple weeks. Last week, anyway. And he starts talking about he's going to go into prayer. And he expects to hear God, right? And then he hears from God, and God says, the vision, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may rather read of it, right? We read the vision in verse number 14 of Habakkuk 2. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And some people want to put this verse over in, you know, the millennial reign of Christ. Once Jesus comes back, when he comes back, he's going to establish on earth a kingdom that has 1,000 years of peace. Right? The devil will be thrown into a pit for 1,000 years. 1,000 years with no devil. We can't even imagine that. No devil for 1,000 years. I mean, nobody troubling your thoughts, attacking you physically. 1,000 years of Jesus in charge. My goodness, that's going to be fun. But before that, God says, I have plans for the earth. I'm going to bring my glory to the earth and start a restoration to bring an end time harvest. You see this? And so he says, God says, write the vision that he may run the read of it. We talked about this last week. Habakkuk is not an accident that it's in your Bible. God was not opening the Bible one time, so he finally gave him a copy, you know. 2,000 years after it's finished, they gave him a copy. He goes, Shazam, how did Habakkuk end up in here? No, he intended it for it to be in your Bible. He gave this vision to Habakkuk, you know, 2,500 years ago. And he put it in intentionally. Whoever reads this vision of the glory coming to earth should run with it. And if you have a Bible and you just read this verse, you now know your assignment. You're to be running toward the glory of God.
Yes.
What is that? That's what we're going to be talking about. What is the glory? What does it look like in the earth? What's it look like on our lives? Because the Word says we'll be carrying it. We found out Paul wrote in Colossians 1:27, is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That God manifests His Son Jesus in you. When you were born again, you were made internally in the image of Christ.
Yes.
And that new image qualifies you to carry the end time glory of God. Right? So he said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run the breed of it. Well, it's on the tables of your Bible. It's on your pages. You know how to run. And running will take all of your effort. Did you follow me on that? I don't know anybody that ambles. I mean, how many people can run and eat a cheeseburger at the same time? What I'm getting is run requires focus. It requires singular purpose. And it requires every part of your body working in conjunction with every other part. And God's in the end times raising up an end time body. We talked about it in our first meeting here. The end time body without division. Right? He's raising up an end time body working in conjunction to get everything done. Even in our renovations here we've done so far, we've had people coming in with every trade necessary. In fact, I had a word God gave you during praise and worship. Just to me. I meant to share a while ago, but I'll share it now. During praise and worship, today, I was talking to God about all this work I've been doing on a building. I've been here virtually at least 10 hours a day, almost every day, sometimes 12, doing stuff. And over the years, I had a desire to learn different trades. I worked with them. I determined I'm going to learn how they do these things. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn, that's not the point. But I've learned to do these things. So I can do carpentry, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, masonry, roofing. I can do those things. I'm not an expert at it, but I can do them. And I was talking to God about all the time I'm spending here, and I says, I'm not getting the time doing the love videos. I'm not getting the time, you know, in the Word I normally would get. And God said, drop this in me. I raised you up for this project.
Amen.
The things you've learned for the past 50 years plus, all my life, are now being manifested in the renovation of this building. And what you learn about the Word and about the kingdom will be released through this building.
Yes.
As he was saying, don't beat yourself up because you're not getting everything done. You're doing what you've been trained to do.
Yes.
Did you follow me on that?
Yes.
And so it kind of lessened some pressure on me to try to get everything done spiritually and naturally that I can do. And we're going to get it finished, right? Yes. God's bringing in the people we need every day, pretty much, for the next phase, for the next step. And he's doing it in the body of Christ in these end times for us to carry the glory.
Yes.
A running church requires a unified, coordinated effort by the church.
Yeah.
And so I've been setting schedules so people come in and get it done. And downstairs, Peggy's been setting schedules, others. And it's getting done. Karen's setting schedules is getting done. And it's amazing how much we've completed. How many enjoyed coming in the front door today and it didn't stick? You can get it open now, right? Whatever we need. We've got the tools and stuff. And this is kind of part of it. Last night, I was going through my garage. Every night, I make a list of what I need to take to church the next day. Because I have tools. Can anybody amen that?
Yeah.
95% of the tools in here, well, 90 anyway, as Frosty saw, you've got a ladder here, good things, are my tools from home. And I'm bringing in nails, fasteners, whatever we need, materials from home. And I'm going through my garage at night, pulling stuff out and thinking, all these materials I've stored for years
yeah.
are now getting used. So I thought, why would I have that? Why would I keep that? We're now using it. And I'm it's like stuff I've done, it's like I'm getting a joy out of sowing into the church what I've held for years, knowing someday we may need it. Several years back, Peggy gave me a 50-pound bag, a box of drywall screws. Guess where they're being used now? Amen. And I've held on to it knowing there was a time we're going to need that box of screws. And it's all dealing with our running with a vision. Everything we need is here or it's coming in at the exact time we need it.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Including all of the finances.
Yes.
And join me in prayer and agreement. We pay everything off the first year.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Sound like a good target?
Yeah.
We're on the way. So then he says in verse number 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What's it mean, appointed time?
When he wants it.
It means it's on God's schedule.
Yeah.
I have appointed times in my year. July 14th is an appointed time. It's Patty's birthday. Special birthday this year. Right? She'd be medically qualified. April 7th, I never forget April 7th. Anniversary. Now I've got to add May 22nd to the list. That's our first grandchild's birthday, right? And so, and then there's Earth Day, Arbor Day, and Mother's Day, and all that I have to remember as well. Anyway, God says an appointed time. He's already put it on the schedule.
Yes.
He's got something He wants to do, and it's the glory coming to the earth. He says, for the vision yet for an appointed time, but at the end, end times, it shall speak.
Yes.
Habakkuk has been hidden from the church for 2,000 years. But now God's unveiling it. Again, we talked about this Tuesday night. This Bible is a time release document. There's stuff that we don't know yet that's in the Word has not yet been unveiled. The glory coming was one of them. We had a discussion Thursday night at our Bible study about lost books of the Bible. I don't think we're missing any books of the Bible. I think everything we need is in this book.
Yes.
But it's time release.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got people that, listen to me, nobody get beat up or think I'm condemning anybody. We've got people that are thinking naturally minded, I need another book I can read naturally to get more understanding of the kingdom. And God says, no, the book is here. You just need spiritual unveiling of what's already here.
Yeah.
Do you follow me? And so, God's releasing revelation we've never known before. Especially about the kingdom of heaven. I truly believe we are already citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
I believe we have access rights to all the kingdom promises now.
That's right.
One of those is the right to divine health, divine healing, financial increase, your marriage being blessed, your children serving God. All promises of the kingdom. I believe we have promises of joy and peace, being filled with the Spirit, being born again, are all promises of the kingdom. They're ours now. Most of that, for the past 2,000 years, the church has rejected. See, the revelation that we're now citizens of the kingdom, we have kingdom rights, is a time-release revelation.
Amen.
Now, there have been people who have known it over the years, but it's not been accepted by the church for many years. Time-release. For most of the past 2,000 years, really 1900, 120 years ago, 121 years ago, there was a revival took place in Azusa Street, California. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
The Pentecostal outpouring. For the past 1900 years before 1905, most of the church was oblivious that you could be filled with the Spirit speaking tongues. They were not aware that God had giftings in the church connected to that. All the nine gifts of the Spirit were connected to it to some level. They were oblivious to it or rejected it. Now, there were always some that operated in it. I read a book here recently. That was the history of the charismatic movement. It showed all through time since Jesus. There's always been a segment or a remnant of the church speaking in tongues and operating in miracles. But until 1905, it was not even considered reasonable for most of the church. In fact, I don't know if there were any charismatic churches in existence up till then, the Pentecostal. And even then, once the Pentecostal outpouring took place, most of the church rejected it. They're speaking in tongues of the devil. I've never spoken in tongues. Well, you never believed for it. Do you follow me? But now today, really, since I've been born again, 41 years now, since I've been saved, Patty and I, the Pentecostal charismatic movement has spread throughout the earth. And now I don't know the number. I don't know how many there are. But the number of people in the world speaking in tongues today, born again and spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Spirit, is in millions and millions and millions, and has spread across the world. Do you follow me?
Yes.
It used to be kind of in a corner, nobody did it, and now it's everywhere. In fact, now a lot of the tongue-speaking churches have become religious, and there's no power there. They got an infilling, and they can use the prayer language, but they're not stepping into the rights of it. But today, God's unveiling that we live in the kingdom.
Amen.
With me.
Amen.
And this revelation that we're made righteous, we're rights of the kingdom is going to take us to the glory of God.
Yes.
For at the end, it says that then it shall speak and not lie. It's going to happen. God doesn't lie. Though tarry, that tarry, where tarry means seem, it means it's running late. Though it's running late, it won't tarry. It's not going to be late. It just seems like it's late. If you'd asked me 30 years ago, I thought we'd be in the glory within a few years. Here we are 40 years, 30 years later. We're not there yet. We're deeper than ever before. But we're not full in full-blown glory yet. Does anybody feel the Spirit of God here this morning?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you feel the Spirit of God here this morning. I certainly do. Did you know I went to church for years, even in Grace Fellowship, I never felt this kind of anointing on normal Sunday mornings? And if you think back, you'll realize the same thing is true for you. You didn't feel like this much anointing, regular Sundays. We're going from faith to faith and glory to glory. It's increasing every time we meet. Just sometimes it's so subtle you don't recognize it. You know, this morning I looked in the mirror getting ready. And I realized, where did all that gray hair come from? You know, that's not the young guy I used to be. And I can look at pictures and think, when did I look like that? You know, from the past. And I realized over the past, really since I've been married, for the past 4 years, I've been aging. Not internally, but externally. And, you know, I get in the mirror, I don't get up one day and say, oh man, I really aged since yesterday. I look so much older today than I did yesterday. No, it's so subtle, you don't notice daily aging. Do you follow me? And the anointing increase is so subtle, you don't notice it every time you come in. I mean, sometimes we're stronger than others. But overall, you don't notice the difference, but guess what? It's so much different. It's so much different than it used to be. Why? We're going to new levels of the glory. And we're coming to a place in the end times that the glory overtakes us. It really drowns out every voice of the enemy. And our faith becomes at such a level, miracles are just automatic for each of us. That we live in the peace of God, the strength of God, the relationship with God. That's all part of the glory that's coming. And again, it's the result of coming and getting filled every week, two or three times a week, learning to worship at home, get in the Word, have a discipline of spiritual infilling, building spiritual momentum. And God keeps stretching how much you're moving into. Amen?
Amen.
And so, he says, it will, let me read it. He says, but the it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will surely come. You're being filled with glory through his glorious bride. The entire remnant of the church that's all in. That's what we're doing here. We're after the glory of God.
Amen.
We're not here to start a new social program, although we may have. We're not here, you know, just to be nice Christians, although we will be. We're to manifest the power of God.
Amen.
The supernatural agape love of God and to carry the glory of God.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
Now again, some people put this over in the millennium. They put this in heaven. Someday we get to heaven, we'll, you know, we'll have this glory. But turn with me again to Isaiah chapter 60. Turn back to Isaiah 60. And we were here. I know this is a lot of review. Some of you weren't here last week. And God have mercy on your souls. Just kidding. Review is good because it's reinforcement. Isaiah 60, have you got it? Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And again, some people try to take this passage and put it off in the future, either millennium, the millennial reign of Christ, or in the eternal heavenly realm. They're trying to put it way off in the future and not have it apply to today. But it says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. We talked about this, I believe, Tuesday night. Or was it last Sunday?
Last Sunday.
Darkness, gross darkness, will not be in heaven. They will not be in the millennial reign until the very end of it. God says, my glory is coming on a people when the earth's full of darkness. And you don't look very far to see that happening right now. Why would be people rising up going, death to America?
Right.
Death to Israel. You know, let's hate each other. Why is that? Darkness and gross darkness. Now see, I need to throw this in as well. If you watch much of the news, you follow online, if you're not careful, it's going to anger you. It does me. And if you're not careful, anger can lead to dislike of some group of people.
Yeah.
You follow me? A nation, a people, whatever it might be. And that can lead to hate. We've got to be careful to watch our inputs to not get to the place we're angry, that it can lead to dislike or hate. Well, I need to stay updated. I understand you can stay updated, but you don't have to watch it 24/7. And have that infusing you out of the natural realm, their reports versus what God has said. God said the glory is coming.
Yes.
It'll be during a time of darkness. All I need to know is there's darkness going on. I need to know there's darkness going on and who to vote for, you know, what to support, what to be involved in. I don't need to know every detail of what darkness is doing. Is this okay with you?
Yes.
Because I need to take it further. I don't need to look at pornography to know it exists. And again, in our house, we don't. The movie, any movie, we take movies. Because we can skip commercials. We have the DVR. And especially we like the old movies because they tend to be safer. But we have on our devices IMDb, Internet Movie Database. You know what that is? You can look up any movie. You scroll down, it'll tell you what's in the movie. You'll have a level for, what's the term? No, it's a, there'll be a violence rating, a profanity rating, and what's the other one?
Nudity
rating. And you click on it and see what it says. And if it says there's parts of the body shown it shouldn't be shown, we don't watch it.
Right.
We just erase it right there, just erase it. Don't wait till we get to it. Oh, there it is. No, we look in advance. Because I don't think I need to know. I don't need to see pornography to know it exists. You follow me? Oh, I like it. Well, it opens doors to the demonic. You've got to be very careful there. You've got to be careful there. And so, I don't need to see it to know it exists. I don't need to smoke dope to know it exists. Of course, been that route already, right? There's things out there that are evil. I don't need to try to surround myself with to know it's there. I don't even watch the news 24/7 though there's evil in the world. I know there's evil. I know the solution is God says, when evil arises, I'll bring my glory to fix the things. The glory is going to bring restoration to the earth. Revival of the earth. And so what I'm talking about is watch your inputs. Don't have it. Well, I watch only good news. It's still a natural report.
Yes.
If not, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you turn on a news report, even what you think is a good one, they were speaking in tongues? Prophesying. Shut it off. Put some praise music on. I'm not talking about 24/7. I have Breitbart. I'll probably look at it once or twice a day. What's going on? And I don't care to have the news on much at all. Its inputs are going to make me angry. And your anger is not going to manifest the glory of God. Not the way the enemy wants to take it. It'll create division. So God's bringing his glory at a time of gross darkness in the earth. We talked about it last Sunday. Gross darkness is a time. It's not just about the absence of light. It's a demonic sludge the only the glory can disperse. And it's in the earth now. God's little count, I'm about to raise up my church, carry this glory to reverse the curse of those areas. Darkness has come. Let me show you a couple verses here. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come by thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now who are the Gentiles? Non-Jewish people. Right? There's Jews and Gentiles. But the truth is, you're really not a Gentile anymore. You're a saint. You're a Christian. See, when you become a Christian Jew has no difference or advantage over a Christian Gentile. You become brothers in Christ. You understand a Christian is above Jewish standing? Because Jewish standing is just a nationality.
Right.
It's a genealogy. But Christianity is a born again, made righteous saint, child of God.
Yes.
And when a Jew gets born again and a Gentile gets born again, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Well, they're a Messianic Jew. Well, that's a title, but there's no difference in the kingdom. Same rights, same nature.
Yes.
You follow me? Can I take it a step further? When a white man gets born again, he's no longer white. He's a Christian. When a black person gets born again, they're no longer black, they're a Christian. I understand the pigmentation is still the same, but now we're elevated to a place where brothers, and there should be no division. There should be no separation. I don't think there should be this color church or that color church. We're one church.
Right.
Amen. One body.
One body. And I'll say you can't go to where you want, where you want to, but there should be no division between any of those things. Because Paul said there's neither Jew nor Greek. Wait a minute, I thought Jews were special. No, in the kingdom there's neither Jew nor Greek. That disappears once you get born again. He said there's neither male nor female. Woo, we just stepped into it there. A born-again man is no different than a born-again woman. As far as standing and rights. And women can preach. They can be apostles. They can speak in the church where people tell you otherwise, or misinterpretations or misunderstandings of the scriptures. We talked about this the other night. And so, Paul said, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We're all one. And when you get elevated into the body of Christ, all separation and division must disappear between others in the body of Christ. Even regardless of political leanings. I've said it before. I'm not going to back down. I'm a huge Donald Trump supporter. I think God sent it to us. But if you come in and you say, well, I don't like Donald Trump, which I've encountered a few times, and I hate him, I'll love you the same as whether you like him or not. It's a political decision. You follow me? Somebody's wrong, but I mean, listen. Some people think Kentucky basketball is the best team ever. I probably would agree with that. But other people say, no, it's Duke or North Carolina. You can come with that attitude. No, it's not going to cause division. Unless you wear that ugly baby blue, right? All that long time preaching orange, right? Hey, check out the news. Listen, if a team doesn't matter, why should political leaning matter? Vote your conscience. What we should agree on is we're all children of God and we're targeting the glory of God. That will be the philosophy of this church. And so gross darkness is what's causing people to divide. demons speaking to people and groups of people. Well, blah, 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 blah. Just shut up, devil. But no, I don't have to hear everything the devil says to know what is truth. Did you follow me on that? I don't have to follow everything gross darkness has to say. To choose light.
Yeah.
Verse 3 again, in Gentiles. So you're not a Gentile anymore. You're a saint. Shall come to the light. And kings, world leaders, to the brightness of thy rising. Understand, this is thy rising. God's going to raise up people carrying the glory in the body of Christ. I intend to be one of them. How about you?
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to have such an impact on the world. The anointing you carry, the glory you carry, is going to draw people to your churches, to around you, and even world leaders will be converted.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory.
Look at the verse 4. I got somewhere I want to take you with this. I need you to see it. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gathered themselves together, they shall come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Lift up your eyes and see. Casey mentioned this the other night. I have preached to some empty churches before. I one time did a tent revival, and the only person showed up was the pastor of the sales team. I preached like the tent was full. We allowed to speak, I just turned the speakers. Let it go out. Dr. Paul Young Echo, he's passed away now. I called him a pastor in Seoul, South Korea. And nobody was coming to his meetings, he would close his eyes and preach to see in his mind the sanctuary full. And he preached like it was full. We do that sometimes. You follow me? And he said, lift up your eyes and see your sons and daughters coming. See this place filled. I see the balcony filled right now. How about you? Yeah. This field, side field, multiple services. All the parking, maybe buy another property around just to expand. Lift up your eyes and see what's not in the natural. See what hasn't come yet. See the glory of God bringing in a harvest you can't imagine. And he says, your sons and daughters shall come from far. Mary's driving an hour and a half to get here, right?
Yes.
How long does it take you to get here?
About an hour?
Uh-huh. Shelbyville. Rob Lee, who got healed in here 2 weeks ago, I need to call him, drove 2 hours to get here. Mm-hmm. Sons and daughters coming from far. Why? Because there's something they need. We're going to supply a service in here. It's going to be called the Kingdom of God.
Yes.
We had an ice cream parlor and a coffee shop before. Now we have a kingdom parlor.
Yeah. Amen.
We come in and receive the kingdom. Of course, we did that as well, right? Verse 5. Is this okay with you?
Yes.
Then thou shalt see and flow together. See that flow together? Covenant. No division. Four rules of covenant keeping in the back of the church. No separation. No gender, racial, political, or other separations in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You flow as one.
Amen.
Yes. Then thou shalt see them flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. In other words, your capacity for compassion is going to be overwhelming. You tap into the glory, the Spirit of God comes in on you in such a fashion you can't control the level of compassion you experience. I experienced that years ago. It's been, my goodness, 35 years ago. I went to a men's breakfast at a church. And some guy, you could tell he was going to be in trouble all of his life. Not addicted, he's just troubled. Got up and gave his testimony about how he'd been through a divorce, and been through this, and he lost all this, and he was in tears. And I mean, it was a sad story. He's trusting in God. And something hit me in that service. Now, Patty would tell you, I'm not one that cries a lot. Follow me? I'm not real emotional. as far as boo-hooing. And something hit me when he was giving that testimony. I started bawling. I'm talking about full-blown bawling. Compassion hit me. It was like I was feeling everything he had gone through. Empathy like I've never known in my life. I was feeling everything and the despair, and it just hit me. And compassion. I'm bawling, and everybody's looking at me. I'm, and snot's running everything. What was happening? God enlarging a heart. God opening up your ability to experience, how can I say, empathy for those around you. Fortunately, it lifted pretty quick. But you couldn't function like that. Yet God's giving us an anointing to do something about what we feel. One thing to feel, you know, the hurting of people. It's another thing to feel it and be able to do something about it. Look at this. And be enlarged, look at this, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Stop right there. The abundance of the sea. Again, we mentioned last time,
yes.
The seas represent the multitudes of people. It's the nations.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, I believe before it's done, in this glorious revival, God's going to harvest more people out of the earth than the devil has in hell.
Amen.
Before it's done, God's going to win.
Amen.
And here we see how. Through the glory coming on the church, it says, I'm going to convert the peoples. Now again, some theologians try to put this past in the millennial reign of Christ. But in a millennium, there's not going to be any big harvest. Everybody going into it is going to be saved. Kids are going to be raised up without the devil bothering them. This is a time of darkness, and there's harvest taking place. And I believe it's for now. These end times that we're in, and things are happening. We mentioned last week about Haman and what's his name? That got killed?
Khomeini?
How do you say it?
Khomeini?
I'm not hearing you well.
Khomeini.
Haman is embedded in his name, and Haman was one of the ones to execute the Jews during Esther's day.
Yes, yes.
What I'm getting is Bible prophecy taking place right now.
Yes.
The Jews that ceased to be a nation for 1900 years, I mean, really over 2000, are a nation again since 1948, and they kept their national identity, their language, their genealogy, and everything. And the Iran, which used to be Persian,
in the Bible.
Bible prophecy right now taking place about the end times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the world's oblivious to it. Mm-hmm. And God is about to bring this revival that brings in his end time harvest. Father, we're going further into this. An end time harvest, you know, what we can't even comprehend. How many churches are in Georgetown?
100?
Let's say there's 200. How many people are in the average church in Georgetown? 100?
I'd say 50.
Huh?
I'd say 50.
50?
I know, so.
All right. Say there's 200 churches, which is way too high. Average of 50 people, which is probably high. There's really no mega churches in town.
Southland. Their parking lot is full.
Oh, here in Georgetown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there
Well, let me back up. Let's talk about churches.
Real churches.
Anyway. Well, let's say there's an average 100 people in 200 churches. That's 20,000 people. How many people are Scott County? 50,000?
They say Georgetown's 25,000.
25 in Georgetown?
Yeah.
Well, then I guarantee you that 80% are not in church. But anyway, what if God came through with the glory and the whole church got harvested? I mean, the whole city got harvested.
Wow.
Every church would be packed up. Multiple services. And God's about to do it.
Yes.
Now, let me back up and say this. For the dead churches, user-friendly people-pleasing churches, God told me they're not going to the Lord, they're going to be shut down. There will be empty churches all over Georgetown, all over the world, that are just trying to be nice and do some good deeds.
Yeah.
Amen. Again, I had that visitation of Jesus in 2018 where he showed me the churches carried the glory, and it wasn't very many. They're going to be overflowing the harvest. Then he says, look at this, the bottom of verse 5. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. See the word forces?
Yeah.
Terry, what's your Bible say?
Mine says, because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall return to you.
Wealth. That word you cannot get away from. See, the King James translators couldn't understand the inversion of wealth. So they call it forces. The word is money. Wealth. Prosperity. God says, when I bring the glory, the gold comes with it. The gold comes with the glory. It attracts wealth. Why? Because it's part of the covenant.
Yeah.
Part of God's covenant is the wealth of the wicked should be transferred to the hands of the righteous.
Yeah.
Part of the covenant is whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I'm going to about four places at one time. Can y'all bear with me in all this? I heard this prophecy at least 20, 25 years ago. And I believe it. I've heard it repeated since then. The Bible says seed produces after itself. Right?
Right.
And so if money's sown, what comes in?
Money.
And it says God's not mocked. He's not, whatever man sows, he shall reap. What's the word shall mean?
It shall be.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed.
It's going to happen.
Shall be
it's not maybe, might be. Well, maybe if you hold your mouth right. We used to fish. Some of you wouldn't get to fish. Well, you're not holding your mouth right. Did you ever hear the story about the guy was catching the kid that was catching all the fish? This has nothing to do with the message. It's just to entertain some of the others. There was two guys, these grown men, out fishing, and they're ice fishing. Ever, anybody ever ice fished? I have not. You cut a hole in the ice across these bend, and you put your line and you catch these fish. These two guys are out there, they cut their hole, they let their line, and they fish all day. They don't get a single bite. Finally, they give up. They're heading back to the car, and there's a 10-year-old boy, hole cut in the ice, his line, and he's got a pile of fish. And they said, young man, that is amazing. How did you catch all those fish? And he goes, They said, what? We can't hear you. They thought he was afflicted. What are you saying? How did you catch all those fish? He goes, young man, we cannot hear what you're saying. Speak clearly to us. How did you catch all these fish? He goes, you got to keep your worms warm.
Oh, yuck.
God is bringing a move. So it's part of the covenant that wealth will come to the church. And the glory is the wealth magnet for the end time church. Are you following?
Yes.
And here Isaiah prophesies that the money is coming to this glorious church. Money's not going to be an issue. The end times, I was talking about, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. Right? Has anybody ever sown a seed and you didn't reap off of it? I have. I've sown a lot of seed I haven't reaped off of yet.
Yeah.
But I believe it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if somebody 100 years ago, they've already passed, and they built this church, they paid to build this church, they never saw the harvest. What about 500 years ago? They built cathedrals in Europe, never saw the harvest. What about 2,000 years ago? Sowing into the kingdom early, never saw the plentiful harvest. Here's what I'm getting at. God doesn't look necessarily at individuals in the body. He looks at the body overall.
Yeah.
And the body of Christ is eternal. We're the same body of Christ now than we were 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
Just different cells in the body. You know, your body today is made of different cells than it was 10 years ago. Because the cells die, I think it replaced.
Yeah.
In the end times, we will not only harvest the harvest off of every seed we've sown, but God's not mocked. We will receive the harvest off of every seed that's ever been sown by the church. For 2,000 years, God's going to bring in a harvest of every seed ever sown, and that will allow him to bankrupt the devil, strip the wicked of their money, and bring it to the house of God.
Amen.
Why? Because it's sowing and reaping an eternal promise that God's not going to mock. It's going to happen. It shall happen. And I'm going to make it happen in the end times. And here Isaiah puts it in this passage. What's coming? Harvest and everything sown for the past 2,000 years, maybe beyond. Did you follow that? Verse 6. I got a verse I got to get to. So y'all bear with me. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries, that's the dates of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. God's bringing on a harvest. Amen. Of every form. The flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Here's the glory. God says the glory is going to do all this. But here's what's interesting. Kedar were a wandering, sort of Middle Eastern group. Wanderers are going to come in. This is Middle Eastern. But, how's it said? Nebaioth? Let me get the word again. I'm sure I printed Nebaioth. This is Nebaioth. Those are actually a tribe of Ishmael. Those are Muslims.
Yep.
God is going to harvest the Muslim nations.
Yeah.
See, who the enemy is trying to stir up hatred against right now is going to be part of the harvest. And if a Muslim gets saved, they're no longer a Muslim. They're now a saint. And a Christian who's been a Christian all his life is saved. They're now one.
Yeah.
Equal rights, equal nature. God is going to sweep the earth with His glory.
Amen.
And fix everything. I've got a saying myself. I said the glory fixes everything. And I believe if I will target the glory, if we will target the glory, it will fix everything else in our lives and around us. I've had some people say, well, Pastor Jack, I believe God sent you to this spot for a specific assignment, specific purpose for this area, for Boston neighborhood or whatever. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe God sent us to Georgetown for a specific assignment and purpose. It's not just a neighborhood. This is a city, a region.
Yes.
I believe it was still over and bless Boston. The anointing is going to bless people.
That's right.
You follow me? But this is about a region. It's about everything we come in contact with. And our goal is to run toward this glory. Do we have any runners here this morning?
Amen.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, you're assigning us. You've given us an assignment. That water tower is opening up and spilling out in this area right now. We receive it.
Yes, I agree.
We decree in this church there are none sick, none in pain. Linda, how's your side? How's your hand? Arm.
It keeps wanting to come back here.
Shelly, it can't come back.
Oh, I've been told.
We agree. In this church, there are none in pain, none sick. There's no oppression. Suicide has no place here. Discouragement has no place here. Division has no place here. Distrust has no place. Hate has no place.
I agree.
There's no strife, no form of separation whatsoever. And there's no lack. We are a debt-free church and a debt-free body. You supply all of our need according to your riches and glory. I thank you for divine encounters all week. We thank you for these properties being given over to us.
Yes.
We receive it now.
Yes.
Favor, and we walk in the divine glory and supernatural love of God. We thank you, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.